Get your Bibles if you're going to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Again, welcome to everybody in the house today. Special welcome to Adam. I'm glad that you're here. You all know if you weren't here, you wouldn't be here. So I'm glad that you're here. Matthew chapter 25. Going to begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 1. The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Jesus, we thank you today, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your long suffering. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's in our house today. You said we're 2 or 3 are gathered together in your name. You are in the midst. We feel your presence, God, now. Help our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us today. We're quick to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. May be seated. This afternoon, I would like to preach to you for the next short while a message titled, Getting Ready. Getting ready. Preparation, planning, schedule making, along with a host of many other items of importance, are they which come into the equation of a person looking to get ready in order for them to be ready for any number of occasions wherein they or you in your life may in fact will become involved in. What I'm saying to all of you this day is whether or not it's you who's preparing or getting ready for work, for school, whether or not it's you who's planning on a special night out, or it's you whose life schedule is what is calling upon you to fit into that of your daily routine, what it is that's necessary for you to be able to be on time and to be ready, as it's you who sets your calendar for that of the upcoming event. Amen. Meaning, I guess it's we who are often called upon to do things and to seek to incorporate into that of our everyday life schedule those things that are and will be considered important when it comes to our getting ready. You have everything done. We're all good to go. You know this day was coming. It's tomorrow morning. We've got to get up at 6 and we've got to get out of here. Are you ready to go? Now, I guess as a brief set of examples and concerns, say to work, having your clothes ready, your lunch ready, having any assignments that may concern your work in order. The same goes for school. Having prepared or done all that you needed to have done before it's you who arrives at school ready. And the kids said amen for the this coming Wednesday. In concerns to that of a special night out, have you set your reservations, bought your tickets, have you put into place everything that would be necessary for you to be able to have an uninterrupted night out with whomever you have set to meet with? Are you prepared? In concerns to a planned vacation, understanding that it's you who needed to have hotels booked, if necessary, airline tickets purchased, along with a setting of the events that you plan on attending, all set in order. And you no doubt will have to have a set budget along with a daily planner of what it is that you have set forth to do. So that once again, your vacation and everything to do with it is in order and you are ready. And of course, my list frankly could go on and on. However, I believe the primary factor that must be considered and brought into consideration in concerns to whatever kind of event, etc., that you have planned on being a part of, is the time. That is, whatever it is that you should have prepared for is set to commence. You got it all together. Are you ready to go? The time that you've taken, are you prepared? Because your event is about to commence. Yeah. And so finally, in concerns to that of your getting ready, what it is that you, let alone anyone, dreads is the fact of your having forgot something, or you have failed to be prepared for what it is that you had set out to do, and thereby it, whatever, becomes that which throws a monkey wrench into that of your set plans. What do you mean you didn't pack the toothpaste and the toothbrush? You know I need my nighty, honey. To getting ready, say, well, it sounds easy. You know, it's easy. Concerns that our attempt to be ready. And very few are they who try not to be the ones who, when called upon, are not ready. What do you mean you're not ready? It's really funny. I think back to the time when our kids were young and little, and the ladies were doing their hair, and I was pulling my hair because church was inching closer and closer. We had to be there on time for prayer, and we had to be there on time for service, you know. And I'm going, come on, you got to get going. Nobody really wants to be late. Nobody wants to miss out on what they have planned to attend or to be a part of. Nobody that I know of does not enjoy not being ready. And today, I'd like to suggest to you that there comes, and there surely will arise in that of your life, those times when, in fact, the fact of your being ready will be or become that which has the potential to impact your life in ways wherein, if you were not ready, being able to recover is an option that will not be what is offered to you in that of your being caught in the state of unpreparedness. Sometimes if you're late, you're not prepared, and you're not ready. I've heard the old story, the plane took off without me. That bus left. Somebody else filled your reservation. Somebody else took the place that you should have been in. You were at the job offer, and you showed up late, and the person that was waiting just after you, the boss said, well, come on in. I'll talk to you first. And you come walking in 10, 15 minutes late. I'm sorry, honey, you were not prepared. And this time, there is no recovery. There is not something to be on. I'll tell you what, I'll give you the option to be the dishwasher. We don't have a restaurant here. You can wash the dishes in the back for the staff, and we'll pay you once a month. I wasn't ready. I was unprepared. You say, well, at work, you weren't ready for the meeting. As for school, you'd not finish the requested report due on the day that you were to return. A failure in your planning costs you an enjoyable night all because you never set a reservation. What do you mean you didn't set a reservation? It's Friday night. Everybody's going. That's one of the hottest restaurants in town. You didn't set a reservation. Well, I guess McDonald's is an option. Your vacation was forced to be canceled because you did not acquire the passport and you failed to meet the requirements prior to your vacation commencing. So you closed it and you stayed home. All of which, in each example, it cost you. It was they that cost you in view of the consequences that you and your life were now going to be forced to face. Maybe because your lack of concern and that of your needing to be ready failed in causing you to take seriously the need of your getting ready. Don't worry about it. I have a son-in-law, his favorite words are, no worries, no worries. And I'm getting grayer every time. He said, no worries, no worries. I'm thinking, yeah, no worries. Listen, buddy, you got to deal with that today. I just got to get in, get on, get with it, or get run over. I'm just one of the, the reason I could never have been a doctor, I don't have any patients. So I turned into a pastor instead. So, but anyhow, yeah, you need it to take seriously. You need to get ready. And so having said all of this, and I would like to turn your attention of the thought of getting ready to that of what I would consider the most crucial element of that of ours as a human being's existence. It is I who believes wholeheartedly how that there exists no other factor in that of our lives more important than for us to be they who are ready when Jesus Christ is he who comes back in order to reclaim his bride, his church. Amen. I want to be ready for that day. I don't want to be thinking about it. I don't want to be standing at my window. You know, the Bible says the dead in Christ rise first, and they which should alive and remain will be caught up together. And I don't want to be standing in my window going like this and watching, you know, maybe you'll be allowed to see people being, you know, they're all disappearing, and I'm going nowhere. My feet aren't leaving the ground. I don't want to miss out on that important, timely event. And yet, sadly, in the day and hour in which we are living in this 21st century, countless thousands are they who are and who in their lives have not paid much attention, if any, attention to the fact of their needing to get ready in order for them to be ready when their life's number on this earth is called. We don't know when our life is going to end. We don't know when our earthly existence is going to cease. And so you could say, well, unconcerned, shall I say, they are of their impending eternity, having no real concern as to their soul's final destination, once this, their temporal life, has come to an end. Meaning, where is it that they, or even your, those of you that are here this day, where is it that your soul's eternal resting place will be? Where's it going to be? I want you to know that there are two pending destinations that each and every soul will spend their eternity in. Either it will be they who are walking on streets of gold, and they will be beholding the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. Or sadly, it will be they, whomever, who will spend their eternity in that place called hell. The Bible talks about that place as not being prepared for us, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. And I'm not desiring to cross your theology, but I want each of us this day to know that you don't have to believe in hell in order for you one day to come to the fact and realization in your life eternal to be the one who ends up there. I don't believe in it. I don't think that really exists. It's just a fairy tale. It's something that the Bible talks about. Well, you don't need to believe it, honey, because one day if you're not prepared and ready to go, you just might end up there. I want you to know that the day that in concern is to every one of our lives, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And when this temporal life is over and your soul is ushered into its eternity, it's you who'll come to discover that the need of your taking the time and doing what it is that you needed to do in order for you to be ready will become the determining factor where it is that you, my friend, will ultimately spend your eternity. Were you going to spend your life getting and gaining, you know, talking about getting riches? There's that story in the Bible that he built bigger barns and he brought in a bunch of plenty, but his soul was not ready. He was not prepared. Are we going to spend our whole life doing and getting everything in this temporal world? Or are we planning on one day of going into that life eternal and to be with Jesus Christ in his paradise? The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. In the second portion of verse number 9, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, says how that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing for you to miss out, to have missed out, to be the one who misses out. And it's in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Ezekiel, chapter 33. And verse number 11, where Ezekiel writes, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Now, Israel speaks of his God's people. It speaks of we as his church, God's church, and this scriptural verse speaks to the lives of every living and breathing soul upon this earth. Amen. And how that it is God whose desires for them, for you, for us, not to be the ones who die, and that without the hope of our spending our eternity with he, God, in his paradise. Yes. Instead of your being the one who spends your eternity in that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, that place called hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to miss his paradise. Amen. And so doing what it is that you need to do and putting in order all that it is or will be required for you to be ready to meet God when God calls you home remains to be that which is paramount and concerns to your life. Yeah. It is eternally important. So having, you could say, getting your house, your life in order, making sure that you have not omitted something, in fact, anything that would cause you to miss your eternal opportunity to spend it, your eternity with God. What you didn't do could cost you. What you failed to pay attention to could have cost you. What you didn't consider important in your life could turn around and be something that was vitally important to your soul. In the book of John, chapter 3, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 3. In verse 3, it's John who writes the words of Jesus as Jesus declares, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then verse 5 of the same book of John, chapter 3, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So getting ready for what is considered to be the most important event and concerns to that of your existence lies in the fact of you first discovering and then seeking to be the one to fulfill the requirement that Jesus speaks of here in John chapter 3. And if you're supposed to be getting ready for that day wherein Jesus calls you home, what you might wonder is what is going to be required of you to be ready when Jesus does return. And so this question of what must we do was presented to the 120 disciples who had come out from the upper room and were standing before the multitude. And it was Peter who answered in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2. And verse 38, the Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So in conjunction with the words of Jesus, as were recorded by John in his gospel, the three primary elements required in order for you to be ready in your bid to get ready for that day when Jesus returns or calls you home is repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue. And from that time forward, it's you who in your life must do your best to live a holy and a godly life in this present world as much as lies within you. It doesn't just stop, it's a life, it's a continuous. It's that time that we spend with God, it's the time that we prepare to meet God. And with your fulfilling of the salvation requirements as are set forth in the New Testament scriptures, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've lived or have not lived your life for Jesus Christ, the next critical factor that each of us must consider in our desire to live for God or your need to live for God is none other than that commodity called time. I wonder this afternoon, has anybody heard the saying that timing is everything? Timing, that expense of time, that minute, the time you walked into that door, the time that you set forth your desire to do something, timing often is everything. And I guess to best illustrate my purpose in seeking or speaking to you of time, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we're going to look at verse number 11. "Here the writer writes, I return and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Look at your neighbor and say the word time.
Time.
Look at somebody else and say time.
Time.
Time. Time encompasses really almost everything that we as a people become involved in. Time. in the realm of our getting ready, and in fact of being ready, is none other than that of time. I gotta have time to get ready. I gotta get up early enough to get on time for work. I gotta be on time for school. This assignment has got a time limit. It's all about time. The time it takes to be ready, the time it takes for you to get ready, the duration of time that is involved in what it is that you plan or have set aside in your life for the purpose of executing all of which is involved, revolves around the commodity of time. The Bible says that life is a vapor. Today it is, and tomorrow it vanisheth away. Our life, the Bible says, is given unto men to live 70 years. That's 70 years. Well, some people leave early, and some people can leave later. And some people leave in between. But that's time. I've only got 70 years. And when I was just a young man coming to the church at the age of 22, I thought I had the world and the stage. It was all about me and Jesus living together. And now I'm 61 years old. And unless I get borrowed time, there's 9 years. And you think, oh, 9 years in time, it does nothing but fly. 61 years went from 22 to 60 rapidly fast. And every year, the clock and the calendar seems to have an increased pace. Mm-hmm. And so, as I've already stated, the matter of your not being ready or the matter of your failure to get ready in itself is what can carry within it consequences that you may not be willing to face, nor are you prepared to face as a result. Yes. I wish I was ready. I wish I would have got up a little bit earlier. I hit the snooze button 4 times and I should have only hit it once. Now I'm late. So I want you to return with me now to that of our scriptural text. That was Matthew chapter 25. As we begin to account of just what it was that cost those 5 foolish virgins their place at the marriage. The Bible speaks of 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. 5 who had considered their need of getting ready an important factor, but was the bridegroom who tarried. And then we have 5 foolish virgins whom the Bible says had taken their lamps, but had taken no oil with them. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. If you don't mind, I want to stop for just a moment to bring into your present minds the fact that since the day wherein Jesus was taken from among his people, and as it was he, Jesus, who had ascended up into the clouds, that the approximate time that has now transpired since that day is some 2,000 plus years. And it's ever since that day that the cry has gone out to the whosoever will to be the ones to get ready for the day that Jesus returns and takes us home to not only get ready, but in fact to be ready, even though no man knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man shall return. It is with the factor of time that in the lives of people, time has been that false sense of safety, that safety element that people have all but literally relied on. It's okay, you got lots of time. As for the reason that they or you in your life have not and maybe didn't take the time, and haven't taken the time to be ready. I've got lots of time. I'm only 20, 40, 60. I can take my time. That's what he talked about in the Bible study that we were going through. There's time to grow, and I got all the time in the world. But if you are not careful, that time will rapidly pass you by. Just because Jesus has not returned, I've heard many people say that I'm not willing in my life to stop doing what it is I'm doing in order for me to get ready, to be ready for that day where Jesus returns. I don't want to quit sowing my oats, my wild oats. And the factor is what is daily showing to us in the fact of countless thousands of people, Christians included. Mm-hmm. Are they who continue to go about their daily lives without a care and concern as to the fact that this could very well be the time wherein Jesus does return? It is we who, when he does, that you, my friend, will have to have been the one who had taken the time in your life to get ready. I've got to be ready. I can't be playing around. I can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I can't have a desire to get and fulfill all the pleasures of this life and then to turn and to live my life for God. So what I'm wanting to impart to you, no matter who you are nor where in Christ that you claim to be, it is the fact that eternity's clock for all of us is running out. And whatever it is that you need to do in order for you to be ready or even to get ready, I suggest to you today that you'd better take the time that you have left to do exactly that and get ready. I brought for an example for you today, luggage. You're gonna go on a trip, you're gonna prepare. Well, you better get your luggage and not just have empty luggage sitting there. You better get it ready. You better get it out your calendar and list the time that you have left. If you're going to plan on taking a journey and this one's going to be eternal, you better look at your checklist and make sure everything that you need to do has been done. And that every day that you live for Jesus Christ, that you don't allow your life to drift off into some kind of abyss, thinking that I've got lots of time. You'll find that the newspapers, the magazines, social media, almost every avenue of communication that's at our disposal is calling out to we as humanity that time is running out. Our world is changing. Society is changing. And the cashless society that and the one world government that church votes, you know, I remember talking about this years back. We got into the church back in 1982. We were talking about the cashless society that's coming today for a one world government. You know, we talked about it for several years. Well, I want to tell you that swiftly it's coming upon us. What? Cashless society, one world government. Right now we're experiencing some of our constitutional freedoms being taken away from us. And so I ask you to consider this. Just where are people's minds? Where are they? What are they thinking about? In fact, where is your mind? Is it focused on and centered upon the arrival of the Antichrist? Well, we'll just watch in the Bible. We'll wait for, you know, that son of perdition to kind of show up and we'll know then. Or is your mind centered and focused on the fact that Jesus is preparing to return in order to take his readied bride? Readied bride. Yeah. Home. No, it's not going to matter about the Antichrist. It's not going to matter with what this world does if the economy goes right into the garbage can. Where is your soul? Where is your mind focused? The Bible tells us to look up because our redemption draws nigh. The Bible doesn't say focus on this world and get all concerned about your savings. You better have the greatest savings account where your treasures are laid up in heaven.
Right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I submit to you this afternoon that not only the world, but the church, even some among us this day, are asleep. Sleeping. We are, and they are, unaware of not only the pending return of Jesus Christ, but I believe that they, and maybe even you, are even unaware of the pending consequence that will befall all of those of whom, in their lives when Jesus returns, are and who have not taken the time to get ready. That's when you could use a term which is very loose and sloppy, but that's when the joke is over, because it's not a joke. That's when the curtain's drawn. That's when it's time and it's done. You go back to the days of Noah. Back in the days of Noah, the only way to be saved from that flood was to get into that ark, and yet few souls, the Bible says, it's only 8 were saved by water. You look in the time of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, the only way to flee the judgment of God that raining down a fire and brimstone was to flee the city. Well, it was Lot and his wife and his two daughters that fled that city, and his wife in her heart had a love for that world and for that city, and she looked back and became a pillar of salt. And so we look at our time and we say, well, I've got to be ready and I've got to get ready. And God's going to come back for a ready bride, pardon me, not a sleeping bride, not a lazy bride, not one that is just casually going on with life and has no concern to the fact that today could be that very day of your salvation. It is we, saints of God, friends of mine today, who are living on borrowed time. For time as we know it is what is running out, and the need of your getting ready and the purpose of your being ready more than ever before lies as a critical matter in your life. Oftentimes, I thought way back when, we used to hear messages about the coming of Christ Well, honey, just get your paper. You just read the news. You hear what they're saying, and you're going to go. It's not like it was back in the 80s. It's not like how it was in the 70s and 60s. It's critical. So the need of your casting aside, as the Bible says, the sin that does so easily beset you, casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. In the day which we are living in remains to be again paramount in light of your pending eternity. How long am I going to play with that? How long am I going to keep doing that? How long am I going to allow myself to be sidetracked and get off that path towards my goal and get drawn over to this or taken over to that or looking here or looking there? Or am I going to stay focused? No, I've got to get there. I've got a journey ahead of me. I'm heading somewhere. I'm going somewhere. And one day I will arrive. I'm going to arrive where Jesus Christ has gone to prepare that place for me. So the Bible speaks of whatever the hand finds to do, do it. Work less day, for the night comes when no man can work. Living in this temporal world, and without that, you're getting ready for Jesus Christ coming, is like committing spiritual suicide. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is going to come back. Why? Why? Because when Jesus calls you home, if you're not ready, then the eternal consequence that I spoke of that you will end up facing, may I suggest to you that you, my friend, are not willing or ready to want to face. That is not what I expected. I didn't believe that. I just pushed that out of my mind. In the book of Matthew 25, as we read, the Bible says that the cry went out at midnight. Says, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And so shall I say that time of preparedness at that time was over, and the time to have been ready or not had come. Go get your own oil. We can't afford to give you ours. And they say, often heard it attributed to, that the Holy Ghost, that oil, the Bible says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That oil in that lamp is keep yourself quickened and ready. And that oil we got to keep full of the Holy Ghost, keep purposed on God, allowing our life to be completely centered with Jesus Christ. Not worried about tomorrow. The Bible says sufficient of the day is the evil thereof, but we are focused. Our lamps are full. And so getting ready for those five foolish brides, that was done. So what I'm saying to you is, yes, Jesus may not return for a number of years. However, the same is true that time for you to get ready is also running out. And putting off until tomorrow what it is you should be doing today is what lies as which needs to be answered, and that before you. Do you have the time to waste? Is there time for you to keep putting off until tomorrow what you know you should be doing? I talk to people. And they look you right in the face like they are just so innocent. Oh, I'm not worried about it. I don't have a concern. I'm going, you got to worry about it. You got to be concerned. Mm-hmm. See, it's all a game of spiritual Russian roulette. And you're the one who's spinning that wheel of chance. And you're the one who'll be the one to face that room of consequence in view of what it is that you in this life chooses to do. Well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that nobody can make you live your life for God. Nobody has the power to push you into making the right eternal decision. For only you are the one who holds such power in the very power of your hands. It's what your hand binds to do. It's what you know you need to do. I got to stop playing two worlds. I got to stop getting my focus on what's happening in this world. And I got to look at that world that's going to come. And so my purpose today is not to put forth the scare tactic in hopes that, you know, you and your life will choose to live for God. No, that's not what I want to do. Instead, my purpose this day is to get you in your short life, to consider, if you will, your need as well as the need of you being the one to get ready and to be ready, and to be the one who had taken the time to prepare before the option of your getting ready is what's taken away from you. And it's you who stands before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're being called upon to give an account for your life. I think it's going to be, I preached a message some years back, probably about 10, 8, 15, and the title, I called it the two most dangerous words in the English language. And the two words are, I know. I tease people sometimes and say, you know, smoking's bad for you. I know. You know, you shouldn't drink yet, I know. You should not be living like that, I know. And so here it is that your life, you know, you're ushered out of this present world into that world eternal, and you stand before God. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We're all going to give an account. The Bible says that the book is open. Mm-hmm. That's the book of life. And the books, the 66 books, and every man's going to be judged according to his works. And so here I am standing before God, and he said, what were you thinking? What were you doing? Didn't you know you had to be ready? Didn't you realize that I was telling you the blaring, the signs in your current day that I'm coming back? I know. And didn't you realize you needed to stop doing that? You needed to get on your knees and repent and turn around and get your face in that carpet and make your life right before me? Oh, yeah, I know. But I got to give an account. It's Jesus who declares in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, the gospel, chapter 7. Verse 22 and verse 23. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. He said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Iniquity, sin, lawlessness. They didn't take the time. You know, God honors faith. There was a man, the story's told, I'll tell it very briefly and quickly. He was way back in, I think, the turn of like the 40s or 30s. It was way, way back then. And he believed in tithing, and so that man tithed, and he tithed to the church. He was just a good man, a moral man, and I don't know if he attended regularly or whatever he did, but he believed in tithing, and God honored his giving, and God blessed him. You know, God honors faith. The Bible says if you have faith that's a grain of mustard seed, you could say into this mountain, your mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, a mountain of fear, a mountain of doubt, a mountain of whatever comes against you. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like as a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And if I believe God's my deliverer, my healer, God will honor my faith. And so it's not necessarily that, you know, it's not going to happen. God's going to honor your faith. But you've got to look to the whole picture. What did you do to get ready? What have you done to be prepared? Well, we prophesied in your name, and we've done mighty works in your name, cast out devils, matter of fact. I just did that yesterday, you know, and depart from me. You know, in the next short while, as a body of believers together, we're going to once again witness a baptism, the washing away of sins. And yet, the need of being and getting ready, it doesn't again stop there. You go down in water, and that watery grave, and you rise to walk in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. It's only the beginning, for from that moment that as a soul you rise to walk in newness of life, it is from that time there, that moment on, as all of us who'd experienced it, what? Baptism in Jesus' name, that you must continue on in and within our lives to do and to be the ones to ensure that we, that you indeed are and will be ready in the day that Jesus Christ returns to take you from this temporal world into that world eternal. Every day is not Wednesday church and Sunday church, and now I got 5 days to live like the devil. No, every day I live for God. And as I head for a close this afternoon, I ask you, you know, whoever you are, to be the one to consider, is it you? Has it been you? In your life, have you done all that you needed to do to get ready? Are you this day living on the side of the crucified? Is it your life and your purpose set not upon this world, but upon that world to come? Or is it you who in your life who needs to consider being the one to get ready? To set your affairs in order so that the day that your earthly existence ceases to be, it will be you who stands before your Creator, knowing that, like the five wise virgins, you have made sure that you, my friend, had taken the time to get ready.
Amen.
As Sister Zossman comes today, I ask you this. Why don't you, really, in fact, all of you that are here today, Just stop in your minds for a moment in order to consider the words that you heard spoken in this message thought to you. If you're here, this message is for you. If there's those who listen online one day, then this message is for them. Why don't you just maybe take a moment to pray, maybe to ask God what it is that you might still need to do in order for you to be ready. What is it that I might need to do to be ready? And if you miss everything that I've said this afternoon, I want you to hear this. Don't be like any of the five foolish virgins. Don't allow Satan to cloud your mind in concern as to what it is that you need to get ready and to be ready. Don't be foolish. Don't cast it aside. Oh, the hellfire brimstone preacher. One day you might thank God that you heard this message. Let's stand together. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that I have been living for God too long to be the one to miss out on what I've spent the last 39 years preparing for. And yeah, again, because this gets thrown up oftentimes, no man knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man shall return. And yet all I know is that when Jesus does return, I've got to be ready. Your life is, the Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. I got to be ready. And until my life on this earth is over, I'm going to be a committee of one to seek to ensure the fact that I am on a daily basis is one who's getting ready. Every day, I'm going to have my bags ready to go. I'm going to listen for that trumpet sound. I'm going to make sure that my mind is focused on God. And every day that I walk, every day that I live, everything that I do, every place that I go, I want to make sure it's in line with Him. So friends and saints today, why don't you just take a moment to pray? Why don't you close your eyes and say, consider where it is according to the Word of God that you are. Where are you today? Well, I'm saved. All right, you're safe. Are you ready? If Jesus, if you walked out of here and you were taken from this natural life into that life eternal, would you be ready? Would you be ready? If you need rest in your life, where it is that you are, if you need to get ready, then my prayer is that you do it without delay. Don't wait. Don't sit on it. Just obey the Bible. Just follow the Word of God. He's not going to lead you down some garden path.